Is there a Greek influence on the biblical understanding of the afterlife? Also, this channel has been demonetized. All of that and more on today's Peck Report. Hello, everybody. Josh Peck here, host of Peck Report. Glad to be talking with you today. Today, it's just me. Christina's not here. She is in Springfield with our son, Nathan, who is undergoing treatment for leukemia. He is in remission, thank God, but there's still some maintenance treatments that needs to be done over the course of the next few years, which is incredibly expensive. By the way, if you care to donate, if you want to help in that cause, you can go to dailyrenegade.com and click on the donate tab. All donations go there. So there's some interesting parallels between Greek mythology, like Greek thought of the afterlife, and biblical teachings on the afterlife. And so what do we as Christians, what do we do about this? I'm currently doing some research for a future project on the afterlife, and this question came up. And I think I have a really good answer on how we as Christians should look at this influence. Should we be afraid of the claim that certain influences can be found in the Bible? So we're going to look at all of that. Also, a little bit later for, we're probably going to have to save it for members only, we'll talk about how this channel has been demonetized. That is true. I'll just say briefly, before we get into the topic at hand, that yes, this channel has been demonetized, so we have lost a major stream of revenue because of this. You know, larger channels can kind of get around that. We're not as big as some of the larger channels who are going through the demonetization process right now because of all this ridiculous censorship. We're not as big, so we take a lot bigger hit because of that. But that is why months ago, that is why we started a membership program. So if you want the full videos of Peck Report and all the other dozen or so shows that we do, if you want the full versions of all those, you can go and become a member. And hey, now is the time to do it. Now is the time to become a member, because since we've been demonetized, there might be a chance that the cost of membership might have to go up. If there is any way around it, the cost of membership will not go up for those who are already members. So that's why it's a good idea to become a member now. Go to dailyrenegade.com, get your membership now, $10 a month or $100 a year. That is as of now, but again, it could change in the future. It all depends on a lot of things. We're trying everything we can to avoid that, but because of censorship, shadow banning, demonetization, and deplatforming, we could wake up tomorrow and this YouTube channel could be deleted completely. It's happened to many others before. It's just a matter of time before it happens to this one, unless something big changes, which we should all keep in prayer about, because the censorship is ridiculous. But if that happens, you're going to want a membership at Daily Renegade, because that is the only way you will be able to get these videos in the future. DailyRenegade.com. Become a member today. Get full versions of all of our shows and so much more. Go check it out. All right, so it's a good idea to start off with what the Greeks actually believed. Now, the Greek culture held that as a person passed on, as a person died, Thanatos, the Greek god of death, took a lock of the individual's hair, and the person's soul or shade was then separated from the body and was led to the river Styx by Hermes, the messenger of the gods. The river Styx was the entrance to the underworld and could only be crossed if an individual had the fare, which was typically provided to the deceased by the living, placing coins inside of their mouth. If the person could pay to cross, the ferryman, which was an entity named Charon, often portrayed as an emaciated skeleton. You've probably seen it in a lot of cartoons and depictions and things. This individual would take them across the river Styx and Acheron. Now, those who could not pay the toll were denied entrance to the underworld, forcing them to wander forever. These spirits were said to meander until they eventually would join the Melano, which was an underworld goddess figure whose ghostly company would terrorize the living throughout the night. Now, those able to pay the fare and cross the River Styx would reach the bank on the opposite side of the River Styx and Acheron, which where they would encounter Cerberus, the guardian dog of the underworld. This beast was said to have three heads and served to keep souls from wandering in and out of the underworld. So the next phase of their journey was to approach and drink from the river Lethe, which flowed around the cave of Hypnos. Now, when consumed, these waters would cause a soul to forget about their lives on Earth, their deeds, their earthly memories, all of that stuff. The individual must then be judged by Minos, Alakos, and Rama. This is a hard one. Radamanths. Tough one to say. But all of these decided based on a person's deeds, whether they would be permitted entry to the beautiful land of Elysium, which was a reward for good deeds during life, whether they would be sent back to dwell in the Asphodel fields, which is a mundane place for those whose deeds were neither good nor bad, or if they would be sent to Tartarus for punishment, which is a term we're going to actually does show up in the Bible, and we're going to look at that in a minute. Now, some legends of Tartarus exist today. One tells the story of Tantalus, son of Zeus, who was invited to the table of the gods. However, he committed several offenses. He revealed divine secrets to mortals. He stole nectar and ambrosia from heaven and gave them to mortals, and even attempted to test the intelligence of the gods by inviting them to a dinner where he served his own killed and cooked son, Pelop, to the gods in attendance. Now, Tantalus's entire audience, except one, Demeter, abstained from eating. Now, as punishment, Zeus placed Tantalus in Hades, in a river where he's eternally unable to drink the water, and near fruit, which is carried away by the wind anytime he tries to eat it. Now, another legend of punishment within Tartarus is the Greek mythological story of Sisyphus, king of Ephyra. Now, according to the legend, the god of the underworld Hades came to collect Sisyphus for the afterlife, but the man was not ready to die, so he managed to trick Hades into handcuffing himself, after which Sisyphus stowed Hades in a closet, and after some time Hades was released, but Sisyphus quickly performed another trickery against another god, Persephone, in an attempt to further cheat death. And finally, he was taken to Hades to be judged for his antics against the gods. His punishment was to spend eternity rolling a giant boulder up to the top of the hill, only to have it repeatedly come crashing down again. Now, in similar fashion to Egyptians, Greeks believed that bestowing expensive or rare items upon a loved one's tomb would give them resources in the afterlife. Some families would continue years after a person's death to continue to visit a tomb, bring new gifts to the deceased, things like that. Now, in Greek mythology, Hades is a region that contains three distinct regions, which, what you know, once the entrance fee has been paid, boundary rivers have been crossed and judgment has been faced. So Elysium, the Asphodel fields, and Tartarus. So similarly, we have something sort of like that in the Bible, but not the same. Now, while some of these details may coincide, the actual process or what a person must do to enter heaven, to enter, the good place is vastly different. So Greeks, as in most ancient religions, had a work-based salvation, whereas Christianity offers a salvation through faith that the work of Jesus was already done on the cross. So we as believers can take part in that. Now, what's really interesting is there is a connection in the Bible to Tartarus, and it lends the question, what do we as Christians do with this possible influence even? There's a really interesting point about the afterlife that comes up when compared with a well-known but commonly brushed-over account from the Bible. So without getting into too much detail, because we're going to get heavy into this in the book, in this future project, it should be due out later this year. But just going over kind of the basic story here, Jesus told the story of the rich man and Lazarus, in which both had died. Lazarus received a reward, and the rich man received something far less desirable. We get that from Luke 16, 19 through 31. Now, according to the original writer of the Gospel of Luke, and this is actually kind of interesting, you know, the traditional view is understood that Luke himself wrote the Gospel of Luke, but the earliest manuscripts are anonymous, and that has caused others to challenge the traditional claim. So, in his own words, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus describes the afterlife as two places, one good and one bad, separated by a great chasm that couldn't be crossed. That's similar to the Greek view. You know, you got three basic places, one good, one bad, and then this like chasm place. Similar, but not exact. Now, there's a noticeable similarity to that structure of the afterlife as described here with the Greek understanding. And you know, add to that the possibility that Luke himself may have been a Hellenic Jew himself before converting to Christianity. Now, not all scholars agree with that assertion, and it causes some to wonder, was there possibly some Greek influence in this understanding of the afterlife? And if so, what does that say about biblical authenticity? I mean, if there was an influence there, would that stand to reason that the Bible didn't originate with the truth, that it pulled from other religions? Not exactly, though some will make that claim. Now, to many Christians, the initial reaction to this possibility of influence is to just outright deny it. I mean, it almost comes off as a threat to say that the Bible was influenced in any way by outside religion. Some will even go as far as to say this account was merely a parable and that Jesus was not speaking literally. Therefore, we can cast away any literalistic interpretation of the passage. I don't think that's quite accurate either. You know, but that could be true. The whole thing could be a parable or a metaphor. It might be true. Certainly a case could be made for that. However, in my opinion, an equally compelling case can be made for a literalistic interpretation. Now, what if this isn't merely a metaphorical lesson, you know, basically do good things and in the afterlife you'll be rewarded, but what if it's in fact a true account of actual events? Must we reject this possibility because it might mean some Greek thought influenced the Bible in some way? Now, many Christians would say outside influence is outright impossible. But we do know that polemics in the Bible exist. Now, a polemic is a way of writing that directly criticizes differing religious or political views that are seen as erroneous by the writer. That's just kind of a broad, basic understanding of it. But specifically in the Bible, polemics are a type of scripture that is written as a direct reaction to the surrounding ancient Near East religion. So, for example, Jesus refers to himself as the one riding on the clouds in Mark 14:6. This actually refers back to Daniel 7:13, and Daniel 7:13 is in itself a polemic of Baal. Surprisingly enough. So in ancient surrounding Ugarit beliefs, Baal was referred to as the cloud rider or the one who rides on the clouds. So for the Bible to take this title and attribute it to Jesus, the writer is basically saying that no, it's not Baal who's in charge. It's not Baal who's the supreme, or in other words, who's riding on the clouds. It's not Baal who's in charge. Baal has no, it doesn't speak to this literal idea that literally Baal or literally Jesus is riding on the clouds. That's a description of authority. So to use a polemic in this way, the Bible is saying that Baal has no real power or authority. All power and authority belongs to Jesus, not Baal. Now, that's the point of biblical polemics, to correct wrong theology from surrounding religions and give proper authority to the God of the Bible. So because of this, we know that other religious views, at least in some ways, have had some sort of influence on the views expressed in the Bible. You know, for there to be a commentary or a polemic on a wrong view of theology, then that wrong view must have some influence on the writer. Otherwise, the writer wouldn't have brought it up at all. So there's an influence there. That doesn't mean that they are taking on any of the beliefs. They're reacting to it. So, we got to also, we got to recognize that the word influence, it doesn't necessarily mean wrong or not original. So if you're a Christian, then you know that all truth originates from God ultimately. The very beginning of all truth, before the written word was even developed, was from God. Yet, how he decides to reveal that truth is up to him, and that can vary depending on his will. So while as Christians we know the Bible is absolutely true, the way God chose to lead the original writers to those truths may not be so apparent or obvious. It's entirely possible that God could have providentially led a person to a piece of truth about, for example, the afterlife, through a different religion that had a lot of other things wrong. So immediately, that may sound strange to modern-day Christians, but consider how much other religions on a very general and basic level actually have in common with Christianity. So, for example, other religions believe in the existence of a spirit world. Many, if not all, religions believe in spirit beings. Many believe in the existence of some sort of life after death, some sort of afterlife. So it's entirely possible for a person to come from another religion, convert to Christianity, and have some of his original views, for example, like his belief in the existence of an afterlife or spirit beings, to have that carry over while some other radically change. Some other views may radically change, such as how to actually get to heaven, in which Christianity is unique as not being works-based, as we looked at before. So somebody could come from another religion that believes in heaven, yet has a works-based salvation, convert to Christianity, and then they still have a belief in heaven, though some of those views might change, such as how to get there. Those could change, but the actual view in heaven is still the same. Or the existence of heaven, I should say, is still the same. Now, in other words, it's obvious that when you compare the Bible to ancient Greek thought, the Greeks got a lot of stuff wrong, obviously. But it is possible that they may have some certain aspects of things correct, some aspects, you know, such as the existence of an afterlife. An afterlife exists. Well, they got that right. Most religions do. But as Christians, we can really only take that so far. I mean, no serious Christian would advocate us adopting all of Greek teachings on the afterlife, as many of those beliefs conflict with the Bible. You know, the furthest we can take it is within the confines of the Bible itself. You know, that's our safe area. Beyond that, we are either in unknown territory or territory that directly conflicts with biblical teaching. But again, it's entirely possible the original writer of Luke, while quoting Jesus, had a certain understanding of the afterlife that originated from Greek thought, and certain aspects of his understanding might have been correct while others were incorrect. And that's why we can accept the words of Christ as being absolutely true, despite the fact there might have been some commonalities there with other ancient religious teachings. Now, to further support this, we can look at 2 Peter 2:4. That says, for if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to change the gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment. Now, what's really interesting here is that word hell, that was translated from the Greek word Tartarus, which, as we looked at before, is a direct reference to a certain Greek understanding of an aspect of the afterlife. Now, in Greek thought, Tartarus was the deepest part of hell that certain disembodied spiritual beings were being held because they were disobedient. And that's exactly what 2 Peter is describing here, though some of the specific details differ between Greek understanding and the Bible. So we might be seeing something similar to this in the account of the rich man and Lazarus. So something else that I'm going to explore in the book, too, is that it's absolutely possible for a person to use nothing but logic, reason, and observance of the world around him to come to the conclusion that an all-powerful God must exist. And in fact, according to Romans 1:20, people are without excuse. People are without excuse to know that there is a God because physical creation displays his invisible attributes. Now, this obviously does not mean that people who have never heard the gospel or anything from the Bible will achieve perfect doctrine or theology by merely observing the world around them. That's not what it means at all. We as Christians can't even agree on a lot of points of doctrines and theology, and we have the Bible. It doesn't mean that. This is observably false. Now, if that were the case, there wouldn't be any need for followers of Jesus to go and spread Christianity around the ancient world. All it means is a person can get some of the basics correct, such as, yes, there is an afterlife. Yes, there is an all-powerful creative God. Yet to understand the details of those basics, such as Jesus is the only way to heaven, a person needs to hear or read it from the Christian perspective, which requires the Bible and or someone teaching from the Bible. Now, with that understanding, we should expect other religions to get certain things correct, meaning we never need to be threatened by that fact. Instead, while admitting that that is the case, while there is some type of influence there, we should continue to hold the Bible as the only reliable source of accurate information, recognizing that all truth comes from God originally, before any other religions were even developed. So the only reliable source of accurate information is the Bible, especially relating to spirituality, salvation, and the afterlife. Other religions may get a few things right here and there, just like a broke clock is still correct twice a day. But it is far better to have a clock that operates perfectly all of the time. And that clock, for us Christians, is the Bible. So that's what we do with these apparent similarities between Greek thought and biblical teaching. You know, so if somebody says, the Greeks believed this long before the Bible did, and in fact, you can look in the Bible and find Greek influence there, well, now you know what to say. Then you can say, okay, well, that doesn't threaten the Christian faith at all. It doesn't threaten the authenticity of the Bible whatsoever because of the reasons that we just looked at. So, Just because I'm researching this now, this is going to be a part of the book. I'll get into it in further detail in the book. But I wanted to do a quick video on that because that is a common contention that's brought up, especially among religious scholars or even atheists and things like that. So all you got to do is tell them, yeah, that's fine. You don't have to deny it. You just say, yeah, that's fine. But that doesn't have anything to do with the fact that the Bible is the only reliable source of truthful information about the afterlife, about heaven, about spirituality, about all of that stuff. Just because a couple other religions might have had certain aspects correct, it doesn't mean that they're all correct. And then you can get into more apologetic types of things. Okay, so all that being said, we do have some other things to talk about. But before we do, I got to tell you about a couple of things. First, if you are a chronic pain sufferer like I am, let me tell you about CBD Pure and CBD Pets. Maybe you even have a pet who's suffering some anxiety issues or something. You know, I got to tell you, most recently, I've been taking CBD every night before bed, about an hour before bed. I take half a dropper full, and I actually sleep really great now. And I haven't had to take as much kratom for my pain. I'll tell you about kratom in a minute, but I haven't had to take as much. So before I was taking maybe 3 or 4 doses a day, somewhere around there, depending. But now I take 1 or 2. And so it's been great to be able to reduce my kratom intake. And the only thing that I've changed is I take CBD now every day. So I take it and I take half a plunger full, you know, every day, hour before bed. I sleep great, feel great the next day, and I don't need as much kratom. So there have been a lot of people who have said this helps with their chronic pain, with their stress, anxiety, insomnia, a lot of other things. Now, those are anecdotal, so take it for what it's worth. But the great thing about CBD Pure and CBD Pets is it's absolutely pure, organic, pesticide-free, non-GMO, and they prove it by testing every batch that they make through a third-party testing facility, and they put those results on their website so you can view it for yourself. You're absolutely not going to find a better, more pure CBD than this. So go check them out. You can click on the link in the description below or go to dailyrenegade.com and you'll find it right on the homepage. While you're there, check out my friends at Coastline Kratom. There is a long-standing effort from the DEA and FDA to ban Kratom completely. And I believe, unfortunately, I think they're going to do it. I think it's coming. So it's a good time to stock up now while you still can. Coastline Kratom is great. They offer a wide variety of strains and strengths. So depending on your tolerance, maybe you only need a little bit, maybe you need a lot, but I suggest getting the beginner's enhanced pack. You get that, so you get a wide variety of different strains in that pack. And it's also enhanced, so you can just try a little bit, see if it works. If not, try a little bit more, and you know, be careful with it. You know, you don't want to make yourself sick, but you know, do your research and stuff. But that way, if you have a high tolerance, then you have enhanced stuff, so it'll help you out. But if you have a low tolerance, then you won't really need that much, and it'll last a lot longer. Again, they're trying to shut this down, so go to dailyrenegade.com for the link. Click on the ad, or just click on the link in the description below. Now, because of all the political baggage around the sale of Kratom, you will have to set up a Zelle Pay account on the Coastline Kratom website, but it's okay. It only takes a second. It's really super easy, and then you can buy as much Kratom as you want. It's a good idea to stock up now. I certainly have. I'm going to continue to do so because we don't know when this stuff is going to be banned. So if you're a chronic pain sufferer, this might help. I used to be hopelessly addicted to narcotics. I don't have to take narcotics anymore. For those of you who don't know, I have a degenerative bone disease, chronic pain every day. This has given me my life back. So that's why I want to share it with you. I'm hoping that it can do the same for you. So make sure you check that out. Go in the link in the description below or go to dailyrenegade.com. And while you're there, make sure to become a member today. $10 a month or $100 a year. I can't promise how long that's going to last. So make sure you do it now while it's cheaper. DailyRenegade.com. Sign up. You can get the rest of this Peck Report, and you get the rest of every episode that we do. We have the Z Files with the fine folks at BioWarrior. We have Apollinarian with Seth McVeigh, which is just excellent. You have Through the Black Uncensored. You have the Christian Contrarian with Gary Wayne and a lot more other shows. We have an upcoming Ryan Peterson show, author of Judgment of the Nephilim. Carl Tykrib is going to be contributing some content for us, so you'll get all of that and so much more. Make sure you sign up at dailyrenegade.com. All right, we're going to say goodbye to YouTube and Facebook. If you're a member, hang on the line. For everybody else, make sure you subscribe to this channel, click the bell for notifications, keep checking back, and seriously, please consider becoming a member today. You know, we also support a lot of charities and things too, pro-life stuff, getting the gospel to the Jewish people in Israel, that kind of stuff, St. Jude's. So your membership also goes to those great causes. Make sure you sign up. At least subscribe, click on the bell. I don't know how long this YouTube channel is going to be around. So yeah, if this channel disappears someday, just head on over to dailyrenegade.com and you'll find out what to do there. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. Until next time, take care and God bless. All right, members only. So I'm gonna keep this members only part of it relatively brief. I just want to let you know what's been going on with the demonetization. And this in part is why I haven't been posting as much, because I've been trying to deal with this behind the scenes. Also, it's just that week where Nathan has to, you know, every so often Nathan has to go back to Springfield to get another round of medication and stuff like that to make sure his cancer doesn't come back. So I'm not able to always post Peck Report every day in the way that I would like to. So thank you for bearing with me. But so the other day, a few days ago, I got an email out of nowhere, just woke up, checked my email, got an email from YouTube saying that the entire channel has been demonetized because their crack team of experts has viewed the videos here and has determined that we go against the community guidelines. Of course, they were not specific as to what videos went against their guidelines. They weren't specific as to what guidelines were broken, nothing like that. They didn't tell us. And of course, they never do. This has been an ongoing battle here. This is actually what birthed Daily Renegade. If it wasn't for these problems with YouTube, Daily Renegade probably wouldn't be a thing right now, because there wouldn't have been a need for it. So that's why we have the new platform and the membership, and that's why we created this whole, I hate to use the term, but this whole safe space for people like you and I to be able to fellowship and have access to the information that we want without worry or fear of somebody coming in and thinking that they know better than us and telling us that we can't have access to these videos and things. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. So this has been an ongoing battle. I of course, have tried reaching out to YouTube on numerous occasions and to no avail. They just sent, if they send anything back at all, which many times they don't, but if they send anything back at all, it's usually vague, or they deny that they're doing anything wrong. They deny that they're shadow banning. They deny that they're taking us out of search results. Yet we can see in our analytics that they absolutely are doing this. This channel has taken a major hit, and we just took another one. So please keep this channel in prayer. I don't want to lose this YouTube channel, not yet, because I don't think we're there yet. Eventually, you know, I want to be the one to decide when it's the right time to get off of the YouTube platform completely. That time is coming. We're not there yet, but because I don't know if we can survive it just yet. Daily Renegade is still very, very young. And, you know, while I appreciate every member that we have, it's still a small subscriber base right now. So I want to grow that as much as possible. Also, we do have employees that we're trying to pay. We have a lot of people that we have to think about. So it's not just a matter of just deciding to get off of YouTube. But that is the eventual goal, because they're satanic and they're horrible and they're censorship driven and they're totalitarian and fascist and all of the things that Christians stand against. That's what they are. So we do need to get off of that platform as soon as possible. And that's why I pitch the membership so much. In the meantime, while we prepare for that, this demonetization stuff doesn't help. Now, it's not just about, oh, we can't run ads on our, you know, page, and we can't make as much money. Look, nobody's making any money here. You know, I mean, all the money that comes in goes right back into Daily Renegade right now. Like, I'm not drawing a salary from Daily Renegade or anything. We do have a couple of employees that we pay, but you know, they rely on the revenue that we're able to bring in. So this demonetization thing, we are taking a pretty big hit because of that. So what happens in the future? Well, my sincerest prayer and hope is that we won't have to increase the price. And if there is any way to do it, and I believe that there is, I still have to get with my web developers on this, but if there's any way to do it, the price is not going to increase for you guys who are already members. I don't want to do that. I have zero interest in doing that. You're already members now, and it would be unfair to say, oh, by the way, now you got to pay $5 more. You know, I could see maybe in like 10 years increasing it a dollar or two to adjust for inflation, but even that I don't like the idea of. But I definitely don't like the idea of drastically increasing the price for already paying members. I don't think that's fair. So it would mean possibly increasing the price for new members. Again, I still don't want to do that. I really have no interest in doing that. But if YouTube is forcing our hand now, we might have to do that. I got to look at all the finances, and but if we had to do that, we would have a period of time of warning for you guys. So, you know, we would tell you a week or so ahead of time, maybe longer, that's coming. So right now we're hoping that's not the case. So keep us in prayer. Keep Daily Renegade in prayer. That now we are trying some new revenue streams. We're going to have some merchandise available. We're going to do things like that to hopefully offset what we've now lost in ad revenue, which is pretty significant. I mean, like I said, nobody's getting rich off of this, because it's very costly. It costs a lot of money to run a platform like this. This is why a lot of people ask, you know, why don't conservatives make their own platform? Well, because it's incredibly expensive. And when they do try, they get crushed by the bigger guys. So, you know, there are a few out there that have tried. You know, people bring up BitChute and Brighteon.com and stuff. And we are on some of those other platforms. But it takes years and years and years to build up a platform. Look how long YouTube took just to build it from what it was to what it is now. And now they're degrading. Now they're actually getting corrupt. And they didn't have any real competition back then. But now there's all sorts of competition, for one thing, YouTube. So YouTube goes out of its way to crush any competition that they have because they're so enormous. It's very, very difficult. You know, us conservatives or us Christians were a little late to the game because we put too much trust in what was supposed to be a fair and honest social media platform that now no longer is. So we have to take all that into effect. But even something more localized like Daily Renegade, it's incredibly difficult to get off the ground. It costs a lot of money, costs a lot of upfront money. I put a lot of my own savings into this just to make sure that we're not, you know, taking advantage of anybody. So very difficult, very costly. But that's what the memberships go for. That's why we do what we do. That's why we had ads for so long and so many ads in YouTube. It all went to this cause, to give ourselves a community, to be able to fellowship for free and freely fellowship with one another without somebody coming in and telling us that we can't. That's what the free platforms provide, and we want to be different. So all that being said, that's where we're at right now. That is the update for you as members only. And I think that's where we're going to leave it today. What you can do, pray for us, absolutely. If you care to donate, donations go to Nathan's stuff, and you know it goes to all that. There is a GoFundMe for that on the donate page. If you want, you can. But again, you're paying members, so don't feel any obligation. I don't even want people who are watching for free to feel any obligation that they have to pay something. You know, I don't like that. That's why we offer the podcast version for free, so people who can't afford it can still get the information. That's why we tell people if they want to write for Daily Renegade, they can get a free membership. You know, even then, some people complain that we're money hungry or whatever, but that's clearly observably not the case. So anyway, all that being said, keep all this in prayer. If you have any ideas at home, we're happy to hear them. And we're looking into some possible legal solutions, although that is another very costly pursuit that I don't have confidence that we would even make a dent or win at all. Much bigger, wealthier channels like PragerU are doing the same thing, and they're having a lot of difficulty. I don't know what I can't afford a lawyer, so I don't know what chance we would have. Although if the Lord points us in that direction, then that is the direction we'll go. I do have a good friend looking into that right now, actually, Seth McVeigh, host of Apollineering. He's looking into that right now. So we'll see if that's even a possibility for us. But the biggest thing, I don't want to waste money on something like that when maybe the better solution is for us to just allow ourselves to be kicked off YouTube and just fully focus on Daily Renegade. I don't know. Keep me in prayer that I make the right decisions and just keep this whole ministry in prayer. So, all right, all that being said, thank you everybody so much for joining me. I'm excited to see what you have to say about it. And until next time, take care and God bless.